Well, good morning. Man, isn't it good to be here? I love worshiping with you guys. I can't wait. I look forward to Sunday so that I can worship together. I look forward to when I meet with some of you guys because I really, really enjoy that. And one of the things that I'm enjoying right now is this series we're in. You know, we see it, you know, it's broken yet chosen. I know Happy in the initial sermon, he said, you know, he talked about us all being clay vessels. I want to tell you, all of us clay vessels are broken. And if you are a child of God, he puts you back together. And there are cracks, yeah. But I ask you today to consider what shines through those cracks. What do people see? Because that's what we're going to talk about. You know, your sight. What do others see? What does God see shining through those cracks? You know, these topics all about certain men, and man, I'm telling you, we could spend weeks on each one of these. As I was telling the guys on Friday morning, you know, as I'm studying and I'm thinking and processing, this should be a six-week study, you know, just alone what we're in today. And I would like to focus your minds on Judges 13 through 16. And, you know, let me ask you, let me put the burden on all of us. You know, it's your job to study. It's our job to get into the Word. I pray, it is my solemn prayer that you get into the Word this week and read Judges 13 through 16. It's only 96 verses. You'll be able to knock that out easily, but it gives you so much more understanding in this condensed six-week study. If I can just have this one verse in your minds today, and it's from Romans. The Apostle Paul to the church in Rome says this, "For whatever was written in former days," like what we're studying today, "whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Amen. That's good stuff. That's a good verse to remember this week. Now, I would like to ask you to close your... No, wait a minute. Let me take that back. I don't want you to close your eyes. You know, that's a little risky on my part. Keep them open and just open your mind's eye. And I was reminded this week as I was reading in the book of Mark, and it's in the 10th chapter, and Jesus is walking through the gates, and he's confronted by several blind men, blind beggars. One of those, named Bartimaeus, he's crying out, and Jesus says this. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." Now listen to what Jesus told him. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, for your faith has made you well." And immediately, wasn't after a while, but immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This was a wake-up call. Blind Bart, he was blind with eyesight, but he had spiritual insight. He saw who Jesus was. And you know, maybe he was around a couple chapters earlier in chapter 8. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, talking to his followers, talking to you and me. Jesus says this, "Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts so hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear?" And that's my question for you today. What do you see? What do people see in you? What does God see in you? You know, that's a good question for us. In fact, maybe you want to chew on that a while. Jesus, listen to Jesus' words. What do you want me to do for you this week? Think about that. Ponder. What do you want Jesus to do for you this week? Okay, let's turn to Judges. That's where we're at today. And We're going to be looking at Samson, and I've entitled this lesson, Blind, Yet Now I See. And I think it pertains to Samson, but I think it also pertains to each and every one of us. And in Judges 13, verses 1 through 5, it says, "And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah in the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to this woman and said to her, 'Behold, you are barren and do not have a born child, but you will conceive. You shall conceive and bear a son. Now no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite, consecrated to God from the womb. And he shall begin to save Israel from the hands of the Philistines.'" Here's a couple that received a message from the Son of God, God incarnate, a miracle birth. There's only two, assigned cases like this in the Old Testament. One, when the angel of God appeared to, Abraham and said he was going to have a son, Isaac, and now Samson. There's only two more in the rest of Holy Writ, John the Baptist and Jesus. There's only four. He's one of those guys. He was handpicked by God, not an army, but a man, to save his people, to begin to save his people. Now, I think that it's important to understand the whole, mindset of the Israelites during this time period, because it mentions at the beginning, God was distraught with what the people were doing. The people were doing what was evil in the sight of God. It tells us in other places through the Judges, they did what they wanted to do. They did what was right in their own eyes. I think that's a good caution for each of us. They accepted this slavery from the Philistines, and instead of turning back to God, they turned their backs on God. They accepted slavery. So God, in his divine orchestration, selected a man, Samson, to lead his people from this terrible, injustice. Now, when you hear the name Samson, I don't know what conjures up in your mind, what visions you have in your mind. Some people think, oh, what a superhero. He's a man's man, a real man. Read, like I asked you to do before, and you're going to see this is not the kind of guy that you want your sons to grow up to be like. You don't want them to emulate him. He did have super strength physically, and he was set from the beginning to have this Nazarite vow. You read about the Nazarite vow, and sometimes it was 30, 60 days. This was supposed to be his whole life. He was not supposed to cut his hair. He was not to take a fermented drink. There were other regulations. So he was to be totally consecrated to God. It's an outward symbol of an inward faith in God, or that's what it's to be. I think that if we look at the Proverbs, Solomon tells us, "My son, my daughter, give me your heart. Samson, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways." Wow. That's what we should be doing. What should be our focus? Our focus should be on him, not on what's around us. The problem that Samson had was he had no boundaries. He was walking on the edge. In the next chapter, chapter 14, we see very much at the beginning, Samson went down to Timnah. Timnah's Philistine territory. So you're thinking, all right, here's Samson. He's going into the Philistines, and he's going to do what he's supposed to do. He's probably around 20 at this age. And you're thinking, all right, he's going to get those Israelite SEALs or Israelite Rangers and Green Beret, and they're going to take over the Philistines. But look what happens. At Timnah, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. And then he came up and he told his mother and father. When he came back, he told his mother and father, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. Yikes. But Samson said to his father this, get her for me. Listen to that last phrase, for she's right in my own eyes. That's what I see. My sight. His sight was cloudy. And I think, you know, that there's all kinds of distractions that we have to deal with. You know, God had intended Samson to elevate the Israelites. Instead, he adapted to the world. And the Israelites adapted to the world. They became just like, they looked just like them to us. We shouldn't fit in either. Don't look like the world. You are sent into the world so that the world sees Jesus in your words, in your actions, in the way you care, in the way you love. Like many folks today, we are called to elevate the world around us. We have to ask for assistance to do that. We need others in our lives. A good friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, said this. He posted this week. He said, no matter how strong God created you, he never intended for you to do life alone. You need God, and you need godly people in your life. And I concur completely. You need other people in your life. Because we see Samson. And in all of these verses here, these 96 verses, I do not see other people, other men coming into his life. He's all on his own. And maybe, men, maybe, let me talk to men right now, just to you. Maybe you're trying to do this all alone right now. You think, hey, I'm strong enough, I can do this. I can handle this. That's what Samson said as he was walking on the edge of a cliff. I can handle this. You know, we have men that meet. We have 30-some men that meet every Friday morning, 6:30, room 101, just inside the A doors. Call them prayer partners. Great group of guys, and they pray for the staff, they pray for the message, but they pray for you and your impact. We were praying on Friday. Come and be a part of that, men. Maybe you want to be a part of a regular, ongoing, you know, study. From September through May, we have something called the Arena that meets weekly. Some places only meet monthly. We meet weekly, morning and evening, room 123, right out here. And I would encourage you, men, come and be a part of that. It's men getting together to talk about the Word and how you're handling the Word. And how you're living out the Word. Every Tuesday afternoon at noon, 1:23, I lead a study called Men Digging Deeper. We have men that come together, we get into God's Word, and we share. I'm telling you, we've been meeting for months, and we're not even done with one book of the Bible yet. We're in Philippians. But it's rich, it's good. And those guys, if I had them up here, they would tell you the same thing. August the 7th, down in East End, we're going to have a men's worship night. I invite all men, young men, older men, middle-aged men, to come and get together. We're going to worship just like we did this morning. Good stuff. And we're going to share the Word, and you're going to get to be with other guys, share different options that we have. I encourage you to be meeting with other men. I have some cards that I made up. They're cards that you can get together with one or two other men. And I call them accountability cards. They're questions that you ask each other. You challenge each other. You push each other. You encourage each other. It's like getting into the weight room. I love that. Getting into the weight room, and that's what you're doing with other men. And you can do that on a weekly basis. I love meeting with guys. I have a regular meeting with the number of guys, and man, I'll tell you, it's fantastic. I encourage you to do that. Because Samson, His problem was aloneness. And I think that is a real problem in our world today. People, men and women, trying to do this life alone. And that aloneness, it'll get you so far, and then the world caves in. And then you adapt to the world, and you look just like the world. Now, I don't know how you are with taking advice. Do you ever jot down advice? Like, I was reading one this week. It said, don't bother naming your cat because he's not going to come when you call him anyway. I like that. I don't have a cat, but I kind of like that. Sorry, cat people. Another piece, you know, good advice is like medicine. It's no good unless you take it. You know, see, we are people that we do not like authority. We don't like, you know, kids don't like their parents to tell them what to do. We're going to be going back, man, I shouldn't even say this, going back to school soon. Kids don't like to be told what to do. Speed limits. We have, you know, limitations placed on us by authority. We don't like those, but I want to tell you, it's for your own good. It tries to keep you in line and do what's good for you. You know, we feel like we have so much strength, just like Samson. And Samson, in his strength, he did not adhere to wise wisdom from the Proverbs. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. We need to meet with other people, men with men, women with women, parents with children, and share good advice. Not orders, but advice. How to handle certain things with God at the center. You know, Samson, if you read these 96 verses, you're going to see that he had a roller coaster life, much like we do. There were highs, there were lows. In fact, when I was coaching, some of the kids that had aspirations to go on to college asked me to make a highlight reel for them, a highlight tape for them of all of their good plays. And we would send that to colleges, and college coaches would come and see me. And they say, man, I'm impressed with this kid, but tell me how he is on the other plays. You showed me all the good plays, the highlight plays, but where is he at the rest of his life? How is he off the field? And sometimes that disqualified some players in coaches' eyes. If I was to make a highlight film of Samson, man, you could pick out some highlights. Here he's walking along in Timnah, and he gets attacked by a lion, and he rips the lion apart with his bare hands. Whoa, that's a highlight. Said he takes on 1,000 armed Philistine warriors. They attack him, and he kills him with the jawbone, fresh jawbone of a donkey. He carries city gates. These city gates were 60 feet high. He carries them 36 miles and up a mountain. He does some phenomenal things. That's his highlight film. But I guess I'm like the college coach. Show me what he did at other times. And you're going to see some lowlights too. And that's why I insist, that's not who you want your kids to follow. You don't want them to be like Samson in those lowlights. Maybe in the highlights, but not in the lowlight areas. Samson perhaps got too involved in reading his press clippings. He started reading and people talking to him, man, yeah, I did this. I did tear that lion apart, and I did do these mighty things. And I don't need anybody else. I'm okay. I can handle it. I can do anything. You know, I was looking back, so I was studying this week, and I found an old, listen to this, Samsonite luggage. Samsonite luggage. You know what their logo is? Logo is strong on the outside, hollow on the inside. That's pretty fitting, isn't it? He was strong. He looked physical. He did physical feats. But where was he at on the inside? What have we learned over the past couple weeks? God looks not at the outside. He looks to the heart. He looks to the inside. So that's what we have to do. We have to prepare and make sure that we're shining through, or at least God is shining through our lives, you know, especially on our roller coaster. I guess one of the things that I believe you need to think about is your focus. Where's your sight? Where are your eyes focused? What are you looking at? And realize we are not invincible. I am sorry. We are not invincible. Notice I said we. Don't get the idea you can do anything anywhere. God can do anything. Man, we are cracked vessels. Now, let me share a word with you. It's called perception, a person's perception. It's based a lot of times on what you see, and then the brain processes it. Now, I have seen situations where there's several people that see an event, maybe a traffic accident or something like that, and so the policeman comes and asks, okay, I'm going to try to find some eyewitnesses, and he gets them separately. Ask them, what did you see? Okay, what did you see? What did you see? And usually the stories are a little bit off because the perception is different in different people's minds. Let me share a perception that I'm sure that you've all had, at least those of you who drive. You're driving and you have a rear view mirror, you have side view mirrors, you're driving along on the highway, you check the mirror to the side, turn your blinker on, and you go to merge into the next lane, and all of a sudden there's a car right there because the car was in the blind spot. You didn't see it. Your perception was faulty. Maybe you didn't turn around. Man, that's our lives. Where are your blind spots? What do you perceive? What do people perceive in you when they see you? What do people perceive when they hear you talk, when you share with them? May I direct your thoughts this way? One of my favorite verses. And in fact, let me do this first. You know, when I compare, this is a good comparison verse. When you see Samson's eyes, look at this. In Hebrews 11, it tells you this. One of his compatriots, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. In Colossians, it tells you, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. This is a good thing because Samson did not do this. He was hollow on the inside. He may have been strong on the outside, but he was hollow on the inside. The earthly got indoctrinated inside of him, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed. He served other little g gods. They became his idol. Lust is something that happens with many people. I don't know about women, but I know men struggle with this. And that's when you displace what God has, the godly considerations, and then you start thinking what you want. It's not what should I do? This is what I want to do. And that's why I say, get together with other people that will challenge you. And you can ask them, what should I do here? And you'll get that encouragement. I hope you go to the Word. I pray that you go to the Word and get that godly instruction so that we can overcome those blind spots. Because there's things that are temporary in our lives. Look not to things that are seen. Friends, look not to the things you see, the big houses, the big cars, the big jobs, the big salaries. You know, when I was teaching, you know, I would ask kids, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And we would start talking about occupations, and the first thing they talked about was salary. They talked about how many days off they would get. They talked about work schedules. Do not look on the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're temporary, but the things unseen are eternal. Fix your eyes on the things unseen, not on the things that you see. Because Samson started comparing, the Israelites started comparing what other people had. That's what we want. That's what I want. Yeah, I want that too. Man, don't do that. Don't fall into that. Jeremiah, one of the prophets, said, "The heart is deceitful above all things. It is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" You've heard the world say, "Follow your heart." I encourage you, do not follow your heart. Lead your heart. Lead your heart to God. There are many people. We live in a world that follows their own desires. They follow their own heart. Satan wants you to follow your own heart. My opinion, after reading these verses about Samson, I think Samson had heart problems. I do. And I'm not talking about a physical heart problem, but he had heart problems because his heart was focused on the things around him. A friend of mine, Tom, meets with him on Tuesdays. See, eye doctor. I think he also had an eye problem. Maybe he should have been fitted with eye protection. Maybe he should have had, you know, horses have blinders. Maybe he should have had blinders on, and he only focuses on what is ahead of him and not on the distractions, because that's where Satan is going to try to get you. That's where Satan's going to try to get me. He's going to try to get us so busy that we take our eyes off of what we should be looking at, and we look at the things that we shouldn't. You know, Samson's problem, I think perhaps if I had to sum it up, the biggest problem he had was pride. This is the definition of pride. Pride is the act of taking away from God his glory. It is the act of taking away from God his glory. When you get so caught up in pride, thinking that you can do everything, you don't need anybody, you've got this. God, you can just sit down. I've got this. You're ready for a fall. And that's where Samson was. In fact, he was in a very difficult situation. He was blinded. And the reason he was blinded is because he was taken in by a lustful heart. He was with a woman. In fact, one of the many women that he was with, this is the only one that's named, Delilah. Lila means darkness, daughter of darkness. Samson comes from Shemesh, light. Here's a son of light. And he was with the daughter of darkness. And she kept on saying, "If you love me, if you really, really love me, you will tell me the secret to your strength." And he would make something up and he would break free and he would be saved by God, the strength of God. And it happened again and again. And finally, she's weeping and crying. Not that crying and tears are a manipulative mechanism that women use, but that is pretty effective. But it got to Samson. And he started feeling in his pride, "Yeah, I've got this. I can, doesn't matter." He told the secret to his strength. He said, "One of the secrets is my hair." And it isn't that the strength was in the hair. It was a symbol of the total consecration that he had to God. And once that consecration was gone, one of the saddest verses, at least in this story, maybe it's one of the saddest in the Bible. Delilah wakes him. He's sleeping after she cuts his hair. "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I'll go out just like all the other times, and shake myself free. This is why I say it's the saddest verse. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Ugh. Now he's, okay? It's like God telling him, okay, big boy, let's see how strong you are now. Philistines came in, took him. Just like they did many times, they gouged his eyes out. Wasn't that this is a one and only thing. That was a regular thing they did. They were a dastardly group of people. So he can't see physically, which was a sign of his strength during his life. So he can't see that. He has some physical strength, and he's taken away, and he's paraded through the cities. He's locked up. They do some other things to him and stuff. And the long story is, he finally develops some humility. And he turns back, because this only the second recorded prayer about Samson is this. Samson called to the Lord. He's strapped between two pillars he cannot see. He's strapped to two pillars in this Philistine temple that honors their God, and they're mocking him and laughing at him and making him perform. And he says this, O Lord God, please remember me. Please strengthen me only once, that I might have the vengeance on these Philistines. He realizes his strength did not come from himself, but his strength came from God. And God gave him the strength, and he pulled down this temple. Over 3,000-4,000 Philistines killed. In fact, it says that he killed more in his death than he did in his life. But it's so sad. Really, it's not based on what he did do. It's more what he did not do. Think about that in your life. It's not so much what you do, it's what you do not do. What do you leave on the table? What did you not do? Maybe it's because of what you think you can accomplish. You know, he is mentioned in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the Hall of Faith chapter. It says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the other prophets who through faith conquered. So through faith. So he finally developed faith in God. We don't read it. I don't read that in those 96 verses, but obviously God saw that faith. Because they were able to conquer kingdoms, enforce justice. See, he was the last of the judges. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. He did. He quenched the power of fire. He escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong out of weakness. Hey, that should be something that's underlined. You can be made strong out of your weaknesses. Don't give up hope. Goes on to talk about all these things, suffering, mocking, and flogging, and chains, and imprisonment. And all of these were commended through their faith. Wow. So it tells me that God gets the glory. It's not Samson. It is not Gideon. It is not any of these guys. God gets the strength because it's about God's grace. God wins. He is ultimate. And so I ask you, what do others see in you? Grace is something that's not deserved. You cannot earn it. It's a gift. So what are you doing? Please, please, I beg of you, like Samson, do not sleep on the enemy. Because we're all consecrated. Just like Samson was consecrated. When you come to be a follower of Christ, you are consecrated. We have a consecration ceremony. It's baptism. It's a physical sign of an inward belief. What's the physical sign? He had some physical signs too, But you can strengthen that inner walk. And that's why I started out talking about what's shining through your vessel. What do people see in you? Charles Spurgeon, great preacher, said, "Even after 10,000 sins, God loves you as infinitely as ever." I want to tell you, change is inevitable. You see a change in Samson's life. In all of these guys that we've been studying, you see change. Change is all around us. It happens every day. You and me, all of us are involved in change. Weather changes. You have no control. When I was coaching, I saw rosters change and both mine and playing systems and stuff like that. Change is going to happen, but growth is inevitable. Trust in God. Same God was in control last night is in control right now. It's how you process this. So I ask you, I don't know whether you're a sticky note person, but I'm going to see if that will stick right here. Put that on your mirror. It says, "I see you." And what that means is this: I see you. And reverse, I see you. How does God see you, and how do others see you? That's what I want you to think about today. With your sight that you have, that you've been given, how do people see you? Are you letting God shine through your life? Would you bow your head with me? God, would you be in control of our lives? Would you help strengthen our sight so we keep our eyes fixed on the things that are eternal, not on the things that are temporary and all glitzy and glamorous? Help us not to get caught up in that. Help us to focus on you. For you are our God and you are our strength. And we worship you this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.